been involved in this effort.
I mean, a Democratic governor is in office in Kansas, though the state voted Trump won by something like more than 15% in 2020. But the counties that passed this were many more than those who voted for the Democratic governor. I mean, what an amazing sign for things to come, and close to a million people voting. We've never seen anything like this, as you said, in a primary. Finally, what does this mean for the message for the November elections, where there are other constitutional amendments being voted on, like in Michigan?
Right. I mean, I think we saw signs of this with Michigan. I mean, Michigan organizers, grassroots organizers, reproductive justice groups in Michigan managed to get a tenth of the state's population to sign on, almost a million people to sign on to an effort to put a sweeping protection for reproductive freedom to the voters in the November election. There's similar measures to enshrine reproductive freedom in California and Vermont coming up. So I think we're likely to see even more ballot initiatives aimed at expanding abortion access, because I think voters in Kansas have just proven that the will of the people can be a powerful tool to overrule the will of a Republican-dominated legislature.
Amy Littlefield, thanks so much for joining us. Journalist covering reproductive health care, abortion access correspondent for The Nation, former producer for Democracy Now! That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tarina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Tamaria Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, I'm Amy Goodman.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Every single person since SB8 has been a law has needed to travel out of state. Every single person that's reached our line.
We've been clinging on to Roe versus Wade and the protection that it offered. And it feels as though that protection is being taken away from us. So it feels as though this is a moment of survival. And I think any moments of survival can be very scary.
What did abortion access look like in America when Roe was the law of the land? Tune into KBOO's Roe on the Rocks, a limited series podcast where I investigate this question as I take you through the months leading up to the U.S. Supreme Court decision that effectively overturned Roe. That's Roe on the Rocks, airing Thursdays at 9 a.m. You don't want to miss it.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Governor Kate Brown invokes the Emergency Conflagration Act. Kansas voters fight back for abortion access. And in combined U.S. international news, a House Speaker visits Taiwan for the first time in 25 years. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. I'm Josh Salem. Governor Kate Brown invoked the Emergency Conflagration Act yesterday. She did so in response to the Miller Road Dodge Fire burning near Juniper Flats in Wasco County. The fire ignited yesterday afternoon and already exceeds 1,000 acres in size. The Wasco County Sheriff issued Level 2 and Level 3 evacuation orders for homes near the fire. The act can be invoked under Oregon law when the governor determines that a threat to life, safety, and property exists due to a fire beyond the ability of local firefighters to control. Brown said, quote, "I have invoked the Emergency Conflagration Act to make more state resources available to the fire crews on the front lines in Wasco County at the Miller Road Dodge Fire. With many fires actively burning across the state and several weeks of peak fire season ahead of us, I am urging all Oregonians to be prepared and do their part to help prevent wildfires. Just one spark can light a fire that will quickly spread. Please continue to follow local and statewide fire prevention regulations and share what you know with others. Every fire we prevent helps us keep our communities and firefighters safe and our natural resources protected." End quote. The governor's declaration enabled the state fire marshal to mobilize firefighters and equipment to assist local resources battling the fire and further support a coordinated response. Additional updates for the incident may be accessed at the Oregon State Fire Marshal and Wasco County Sheriff's Office Facebook pages. Information on wildfire prevention and preparedness may be accessed at the Oregon Department of Emergency Management website. The biggest trends in yesterday's state primaries were the victories of far-right Republicans, including supporters of Trump's stolen election false claims. In Michigan, Peter Meyer, the Republican incumbent who was one of the 10 House Republicans voting to impeach Trump over the Capitol attack, was defeated by Trumpist John Gibbs, who received ad support from the Democratic Party. Also in Michigan, the conservative media personality Tudor Dixon won the primary and will face current Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. In the race for Arizona Secretary of State, the official who oversees elections, Republicans nominated Mark Fincham, a self-identified member of the far-right Oath Keepers militia. Fincham had attended the January 6th rally in Washington. The Arizona Republican governor primary, with a Trump-supported candidate narrowly leading one supported by Mike Pence, is still too close to call. On the Democratic side, progressives Rashida Tlaib in Michigan and Cori Bush in Missouri defeated moderate challengers. In other election-related news, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court upheld Act 77, a law that allows all of the state's registered voters to submit their ballots by mail. Last summer, Pennsylvania Republicans had filed a lawsuit against Act 77, which they helped pass in 2019, claiming it was unconstitutional and enabled fraud. Kansas voters did not remove the right to have an abortion from their state constitution. This is felt to represent a major victory for the abortion rights movement in a very conservative state. The ballot referendum removed abortion protections from the state constitution and might have paved the way for legislators to ban or restrict abortions. It was voted down 59-41%, with about 95% of the votes counted. Registered Republicans far outnumbered Democrats in Kansas, but abortion rights activists made strong appeals to unaffiliated and so-called center-right voters. One Democrat said she hoped the results sent a message that voters are, quote, really taking a look at all of the issues and doing what's right for Kansas and not just going down party lines, end quote. The vote in Kansas came 3 months before the midterm elections. It marks the first time American voters had a direct say in abortion rights since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade this summer. More than $12 million was spent on Kansas advertising, split fairly evenly between abortion rights advocates and opponents. The push for an amendment arose from a 2019 ruling by the Kansas Supreme Court that struck down some abortion restrictions and found that the right to an abortion was guaranteed by the state constitution. Republicans used their supermajorities in the Kansas legislature last year to place the issue on the 2022 ballot. That state-level fight over abortion limits took on greater importance after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, allowing states to outlaw abortions entirely. Supporters of the amendment had repeatedly said that the amendment itself would not ban abortion, and Republican lawmakers were careful not to announce what their legislative plans would be if it passed. Many Kansas residents who support abortion rights said they feared that a total or near-total abortion ban would be passed within months of the referendum's passing. Abortion is now legal in Kansas up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. Even before the Supreme Court's action, almost half of the abortions performed in Kansas involved out-of-state residents. Women from Arkansas and Texas, where new bans are in place, are already traveling to other states like Kansas to access the procedure. Oklahoma and Missouri have also banned the procedure in almost all cases, and Nebraska is expected to further restrict abortion in the next few months. Also yesterday, the Department of Justice sued the state of Idaho over its near-total abortion ban. Attorney General Merrick Garland said Idaho's law violates the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. Meanwhile today, President Biden signed a second executive order to protect access to reproductive health care in the country. Significantly, this order directs the Health and Human Services Department to consider ways to expand coverage for patients traveling out of state for reproductive health care. Kansans for Constitutional Freedom led the effort to defeat that state's amendment. Its campaign manager, Rachel Sweet, said, quote, "The voters in Kansas have spoken loud and clear. We will not tolerate extreme bans on abortion," end quote. The Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, celebrates its 25th birthday this week. Nadia Ramlagan has more on the story.
The Federal Health Insurance Program for Children helps keep more than 620,000 Kentucky kids insured. A new report finds CHIP, which marks its 25th anniversary this week, is a lifeline for families who earn too much to qualify for Medicaid, but don't have access to employer-sponsored coverage. Executive Director of Kentucky Voices for Health, Emily Beauregard, explains that an emergency provision enacted during the pandemic has meant that kids relying on CHIP had quality health care, no matter what changes in jobs or income their parents experienced.
When your income changes from month to month, or if it's seasonal because you're perhaps a farmer, then you're more likely to have times when your income goes just above the limit and then other times when you're below the limit.
Beauregard says the public health emergency declaration is set to expire in October. The federal government says it will give states at least 60 days notice of a final deadline so agencies can begin reaching out to families to ensure kids don't fall through the coverage gap. Beauregard adds the state could make continuous eligibility permanent, which she believes would reduce costs down the road.
It leads to healthier kids, but it's also less costly administratively. And over time, kids are healthier because they have coverage constantly.
Beauregard points out that CHIP covers more than half of the nation's Black and Hispanic children and says increasing awareness about upcoming changes and re-enrollment in these populations is critical, as well as ensuring lasting federal funding for the program.
All of these are ways that we can make sure that kids are their healthiest.
Research shows kids who have CHIP see their doctor and dentist regularly and are less likely to visit the ER. This is Nadia Ramlagan for Kentucky News Connection.
A variety of candidates won in U.S. primaries yesterday. A state constitutional amendment potentially making abortion access more difficult fails in Kansas. And House Speaker Pelosi makes a historic visit to Taiwan. With more on these stories, it's Mary Sherman with 2022 Talks.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Elections have consequences. We've seen that front and center, whether it is around keeping our kids safe in schools or at efforts to limit our carbon footprint.
That's Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She'll face Trump-backed Tudor Dixon in November, as both won their party's primaries on Tuesday. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt won the state's Republican nomination for Senate in Missouri over disgraced former governor Eric Greitens. In Kansas, voters decided against allowing the state constitution to be amended to remove a protected right to abortion. Also, incumbent Laura Kelly took the Democratic nomination for governor, while Derek Schmidt got the Republican nod. And for U.S. Senate, incumbent Republican Jerry Moran will face Democrat Mark Holland. Endorsements split the Republican primary for Arizona governor, with Mike Pence-backed Karen Taylor Robeson facing Trump-endorsed candidate Carrie Lake.
I do love President Trump. I will be fighting along with him to make sure we save America.
Trump also backed venture capitalist Blake Masters to face Democratic Senator Mark Kelly in the fall. In other election news, Pennsylvania's Supreme Court ruled the state's mail-in voting law is constitutional. The bipartisan 2019 law came under scrutiny by Republicans in the wake of the 2020 election. Legislation that could provide new health care and disability benefits to millions of veterans is headed to the White House. After Senate lawmakers passed the PACT Act with a strong bipartisan vote, bill's sponsor, Senator John Tester of Montana, said it's long overdue.
We set out with a clear goal to right the wrongs of decades of inaction and failure by us, the United States government, to provide all eras of toxic-exposed veterans of VA care and benefits that they have earned.
U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan, the highest-level U.S. official to visit the island in 25 years. Pelosi said the visit honors America's commitment to supporting Taiwan's democracy. In response, China's military announced plans for live-fire drills that would appear to infringe on Taiwan's territorial waters. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke out against those who discouraged the trip.
I believe she has every right to go, and it's been unseemly and counterproductive for President Biden and his aides to have publicly sought to deter her from doing so.
Back in D.C., senators will mark up legislation today to authorize billions of dollars in defense aid for Taiwan. The Department of Justice is challenging Idaho's abortion law, the first major action against a state trigger law since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Attorney General Merrick Garland says it conflicts with a federal law.
This has really nothing to do with anything that the Supreme Court said, and certainly nothing to do with going around the Supreme Court.
In-court filings reveal the Pentagon wiped the phones of Pentagon officials at the end of the Trump administration. A watchdog group is seeking the records from people viewed as crucial witnesses to the government's response to the January 6th Capitol attack. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for KBOO's News in Depth, a deeper look behind today's top stories. News in Depth tonight features an interview with Street Roots, discussing Portland's continuing efforts to sweep the houseless during the heat wave. At 6:30, it's Rhythm Nation with Peter Marks. And at 8, Drinking from Puddles. Tonight's weather will be clear to partly cloudy, with a low near 60. Tomorrow's weather will be cloudy with more sunshine late. The high will be 79. Today in history, in 1921, Major League Baseball confirmed the ban of the Chicago Black Sox, one day after they were acquitted in court on conspiracy charges. The quote of the day is from Hall of Fame baseball player Bob Feller, who said, "Every day is a new opportunity. You can build on yesterday's success or put its failures behind and start over again. That's the way life is, with a new game every day." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi just left Taiwan after a visit that heightened tensions with mainland China. Pelosi is the first U.S. speaker to visit the island in more than 25 years. Her visit prompted significant back and forth about whether or not it was a good idea. She said today her delegation will not abandon their commitment to the island, which is self-governing. China claims Taiwan as its territory and opposes any engagement by Taiwanese officials with foreign governments. It just announced multiple military exercises around the island, parts of which will enter Taiwanese waters, and it issued a series of harsh statements after the Pelosi delegation arrived in the Taiwanese capital, Taipei, last night. China also banned some food imports from Taiwan. The Chinese military exercises, including live fire, will start tomorrow. They are the largest aimed at Taiwan since 1995. Taiwan protested the planned actions, saying they violate the island's sovereignty. Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen said, quote, "Facing deliberately heightened military threats, Taiwan will not back down. We will firmly uphold our nation's sovereignty and continue to hold the line of defense for democracy," end quote. The National Security Council said today that the United States anticipates more military drills. Pelosi said Taiwan has bipartisan congressional support. She did not promise the U.S. would defend Taiwan. The administration said there's no change in America's One China policy, which recognizes Beijing but allows informal relations and defense ties with Taipei. Pelosi said, quote, "Today the world faces a choice between democracy and autocracy. America's determination to preserve democracy here in Taiwan and around the world remains ironclad," end quote. Tsai, thanking Pelosi for her decades of support for Taiwan, presented the speaker with a civilian honor, the Order of the Propitious Clouds. A new law protects confidentiality for victims of domestic abuse. Mike Moen has more on the story.
This week, a new Minnesota law has gone into effect involving a program that keeps address information confidential for victims of domestic abuse. Minnesota's Safe at Home initiative assigns participants a P.O. box to use as their legal address to help as they escape an abusive situation or a stalker. And it details how state and local agencies have to respond to data requests without disclosing the person's location. Among the changes is clarification of the requirement that a landlord cannot display a person's name who's in the Safe at Home program. Representative Jamie Becker Finn, a main sponsor of the bill, says no major issues prompted the updates, but they're still important.
As technology changes too, that we're sort of making sure that what is in statute matches with the reality of what it's like to live as someone who lives in fear for their safety.
Another change expands the definition of real property records that are prohibited from disclosure. Becker Finn says they had long pushed for these updates, but general political gridlock proved to be an obstacle. In broader efforts to help abuse and assault victims, Becker Finn says she would like to see agencies be more responsive and sensitive to those reporting an incident. She says in many communities, the way survivors are treated can make it harder for them to even file a report.
I think we do have a ways to go when it comes to that side of things and actually holding people accountable.
An advocacy group says Minnesota also must take steps like commit to testing its backlog of rape kits to better support victims. Recent reforms largely addressed future kits. Last year, the state did remove a statute of limitations on reporting sexual assault with the goal of giving survivors more time to decide when to pursue charges. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
Congress is considering a bill package with the potential to profoundly affect healthcare affordability. Eric Tegetthoff has more on the story.
Congress is considering a major package of bills that could affect not only investments in fighting climate change, but also the affordability of healthcare. Jim Manley with the organization Consumers for Quality Care says Americans' main concern is that out-of-pocket costs are too high, according to recent polling. He says Montanans agree that they're getting squeezed by healthcare expenses.
High deductibles, rising out-of-pocket costs, and unpaid medical bills are plaguing American healthcare consumers, with nearly 70% of the folks in Montana agreeing that the costs of healthcare are going up more than other things they need.
Consumers for Quality Care commissioned the poll from Impact Research and Lake Research Partners. It also found 61% of folks in the state say they've skipped or delayed getting the health care they need because they're concerned about how much they'd have to pay out of pocket. Manley says he appreciates that Congress is discussing health care right now, but believes there's a need to ensure certain provisions like caps on what people have to pay for insulin. He says that was in an earlier version of the bill the Senate is currently considering. Manley says over the years, insurance companies have shifted costs onto patients through higher deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs.
We are urging Congress, as this reconciliation bill finishes up, to cap insurance deductibles, prescription drug copays, and other out-of-pocket maximums at a level that's low enough that people don't need to skip care and or go into medical debt.
Negotiations over a reconciliation package in the Senate, known as the Inflation Reduction Act, are ongoing. Most recently, West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York agreed on a bill that would allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices and cap out-of-pocket prescription drug costs at $2,000 per year. For Big Sky Connection, I'm Eric Tegetthoff.
Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland is making a Road to Healing tour. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Little Traverse Bay Bands of Ottawa Indians are hosting the Michigan stop of Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland's Road to Healing Tour. The tour is part of the Interior Department's investigation into federal Indian boarding schools, which was launched last year. 35 tribal nations from Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa are expected to participate in the August 13th event. This will be Haaland's second stop on the tour to gather testimony from boarding school survivors and descendants. The first stop was last month in Oklahoma, where former students recounted traumatic memories at boarding school, including physical, mental, and sexual abuse. Haaland has expressed the need to gather testimony, acknowledging it won't be easy, but says it's a necessary part of the investigation. Trauma-informed support will be on site. The year-long tour will include stops in Hawaii, Arizona, and South Dakota. Unofficial results from the Navajo Nation's primary election on Tuesday show the top two candidates for Navajo Nation president are current President Jonathan Nez and Boo Nigrin. There were 15 candidates on the ballot for president of the tribe. The Navajo Times reports as of early Wednesday morning, Nez had more than 17,000 votes and Nigrin more than 12,000. More than 47,000 voters reportedly took part in the primary election. Voters now head to the polls in November's general election to decide who will be president. In Kansas, unofficial results from Tuesday's primary election show voters decided to protect abortion rights in the state's constitution. Kansas is the first state to vote on abortion since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Native women in the state were among those speaking out ahead of the election, concerned about abortion bans and access to birth control. Members of the Native community were also instrumental in holding voter registration drives and helping with voter education. A Native radio station on the Pine Ridge Reservation is kicking off a capital campaign for a new facility. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Lee Strubinger has more.
KILI Radio, or Keeley, has been on the air for nearly four decades. The station is located on Porcupine Butte in Porcupine, South Dakota. Keeley was the first American Indian-owned radio station in the United States. The original building was built by volunteers. It was constructed as a temporary facility. Bill Means is the board president for Keeley Radio.
Our radio station sort of outgrew its usefulness in the sense of modern-day equipment, in the sense of space for offices, and we needed a new home. And so this is the beginning of that adventure.
Keeley Radio is looking to build a $2.5 million facility. The station airs tribal council meetings, Lakota Nation Invitational basketball games, and a wide range of music, from traditional powwow music to country, rock and roll, and hip-hop. Keeley Radio is mostly powered by renewable energy, both wind and solar. Tom Casey is the station's general manager. He says the goal for the station is to generate 100% of its power from renewable energy.
Obviously, as a radio station, 100,000 watts, we use quite a bit of electricity. So our commitment was not only to us to be working and to bring in as much renewable energy as possible, but also show the community and show the region that it's possible, it's doable. Find the resources and let's commit to using as much renewable energy as possible.
Station officials have a goal of raising the money in 2 years. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Emperor penguins are at risk from deteriorating environmental conditions. Dr. Anthony Leisowitz has more on this story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Emperor penguins endure Antarctica's extreme cold and biting winds, but global warming may prove too much for these tough birds to handle. Stephanie Genouvrier of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution says emperor penguins need a stable platform of sea ice to raise chicks, but they also need openings in the sea ice where they can feed. As the climate warms, sea ice is declining in many parts of Antarctica. In a recent study, Genouvrier found that if carbon pollution continues rising at current rates, emperor penguin colonies will be at risk of extinction.
98% of the colony will have disappeared by the end of the century.
But she found that meeting the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement would dramatically reduce the risk to penguins. So she says the emperor penguin's future depends on people working together to reduce carbon pollution. And Genouvrier says people can draw inspiration for this work from the penguins themselves. To survive harsh weather, they huddle together.
Only together they can brave the harshest climate on Earth. And I think only together we can face a difficult climate future.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
August is KBOO news poet Dan Raphael's least favorite month.
The heat will get below 90 for a couple days, then quickly snap back. August, like the powerful who think they control things, will show us no mercy. You know those executives of the oil companies, ExxonMobil's profits up fourfold from last year, the grain companies, one ship of wheat has left Odessa, the weapons makers have air-conditioned everything, don't have any idea what electricity or bread costs. One leader, Nancy Pelosi, was worried we weren't distracted enough or maybe just needed the attention, so flew to Taiwan, heedless of consequence. I walked down Burnside the other night with all the new high-rises, and it could have been any city. The only traffic was at the McDonald's drive-up. Home used to be a place to share and gather, and now it's refuge, protection. All that depressing crap at the city, national, world levels might just pass me by if my doors are locked and curtains pulled. All the friends and things I need just a couple clicks away. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news, stories, and tips at 971-245-2158. Our remote production team for tonight's newscast is Dan Raphael. The producer is myself, Josh Salem, and our engineer is Otto. Special thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, Mike Moen, Eric Tegetoff, Mary Sherman, Nadia Ramlagan, and Dr. Anthony Leisowitz. The director of the Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Josh Salem. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! At 8, Sojourner Truth Radio. At 9, it's Fight the Empire. And at 10, it's American Standoff. All of these KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are made possible by support from our members. If you'd like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
I'm speaking with Kay Rambo of Street Roots about their new article covering Portland houseless sweeps that continued even while the city endured a record-breaking heat wave. Welcome, Kay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So yeah, let's get into it. Break it down for us. What did you find in your investigation?
The main takeaways I really found that, you know, I think people can really sink their teeth into here is that the city